This is attorney Anthony Push with the Push & Win Law Firm. We get big results on even the most unlikely of cases. Give us a call today at 833-PUSH-WIN.
Or visit us online at pushwin.com. That's P-U-S-H-W-I-N.com.
We push, you win.
Rafeeters! It is October the 4th of 2021, real time. With Ruler Ryan, Eric, special guy, and Sam, and a special guest. We had this guest on the air, and we had this guest on podcast a while back, formerly from KHOU Channel 11 years ago, doing the most awesome work on Walton's World.
Yeah.
Jonathan Walton moved to Los Angeles and did his own thing until he showed up on ABC with Whoopi Goldberg called The Con.
The Con.
Because he was conned out of all this money by this woman who was like his sister. He'd die for her. And now he's turned that into something else. Welcome back, Jonathan Walton. Hi, guy.
Jonathan. Thank you, Rulon, Ryan, Eric. Good morning. Top of the morning to you, Houston.
Oh, my God.
And look at that. He's 2 hours behind, and you'd think he's 2 hours ahead. He's so awake.
That's so right. So, Jonathan, after that special aired, how did your life change? Or did it?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it changed incredibly. So thank you guys so much for having me on again to talk about this. Because, yeah, after that special aired, a bunch of new victims came out of the woodwork.
Oh, my gosh.
More?
And
wait, let's give a background, Jonathan, for the podcasters who are listening right now. The woman that duped you duped, at the time, we knew of in The Con, like three other guys, I think, maybe?
Well, so many more than that.
I acting found 46 like she was an Irish.
Victims so far. Yeah, I mean, so she moves in. She's my new neighbor in Los Angeles. She's like as sweet as pie. She's an Irish heiress fighting her family to get her inheritance, and I was helping her. And I know how stupid that sounds, and I feel dumb for even saying that out loud, but it's true because, you know, she'd show me emails and text messages from her evil cousin Fenton, calling her the C word, telling her she'll never get a cent. I had no idea. She created all these email accounts and Google text accounts to text herself as Fenton and Jennifer Aniston and a host of other characters she used to scam people. So she scammed me out of close to 100 grand. She scammed a dozen other victims in Los Angeles. I found 46 victims all over the world, and it's part of a new podcast now called Queen of the Con. Wherever you get your podcast, it's available now. Just search Queen of the
Con. Hey, Jonathan, adding up all those numbers, how much money has this woman just gotten away with, including you and all the other
$1 million.
A million?
$1 million from 46 victims.
And she's not seeing a day in jail or any kind of criminal repercussion because it was
that's the thing. So it was, and that's the thing about cons. Yeah, you know, people think, well, I'm too smart to get conned. Well, con artists don't outsmart you, they outfeel you. In my case, she came into my life and became my best friend like a sister. And you know, roped me into helping her. Other people, she was a sugar baby. You know, she had a bunch of sugar daddies who were married in Los Angeles paying her a monthly fee for sex, and she was extorting them.
What?
She was a witch.
But we're in the raw feed. You can call her a bitch. It's fine.
No, she was actually a witch.
She was an actual witch.
Witchcraft.
She was into witchcraft.
And bitchcraft. Chicken bones and dragon's blood.
Oh,
and she'd cast spells to make people fall in love. And she would get these, and this is all according to new victims who come forward who are on the podcast, Queen of the Con.
Dude, I saw she's not that good looking.
That's the thing, dude. You know, beauty is only skin deep. She had a charisma and a charm, that an energy you could feel when you were around her. She was magical, you know. She made you love her quickly, but it was all a lie, you know. She'd get these penis. Let me finish the penis-shaped candle story.
Oh, no, hear this. Continue with the penis, please.
Yeah,
one? Yeah, this one.
I am a gay guy, so it's interesting. So she practiced witchcraft, right? And clients would hire her to make men fall in love with them, female clients, and she would get these penis candles, and she'd carve the name of the man the client wanted, and she'd burn it for days, and that was supposedly supposed to get the man to fall in love with her client who hired her as a practicing witch. I don't know if that ever happened.
I could use one of those penis candles, man. Maybe carve my name and get it working again.
You want that burning sensation, though?
I don't want the burning sensation.
How did you get the podcast? Because now, that's why we wanted to have you back on, because you have this new podcast.
You're finally getting money back from this crazy witch.
Yeah, you're finally making some money,
I hope. Oh, my God. And there is a guy. Listen, iHeartRadio has been very generous, and while I won't reveal exactly how much I got paid, I am more than whole again.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you, I got more money than she scammed.
Like, how did you get it to them? Did you pitch the idea to anyone for podcasts? I'm just curious
or
that
they
part.
Saw it on ABC.
Yeah.
Because we want to do one.
Yeah. Well, no, the ABC... the ABC thing definitely helped publicity-wise in making the story known. Yeah, we pitched. I partnered up with another producer, and we pitched to iHeartRadio, and they loved it. And they had no idea. They literally said... they've never seen a podcast like this where everyone internally is talking about it and sharing it before it was released. Like, the story, it has so many crazy twists and turns. And we talked to her daughter. Her daughter comes out of the woodwork and talks for the first time about being raised by a con artist. And she got her daughter as a little girl to help her scam people. She used her daughter to inject them into their lives and babysit her victims' kids.
Terrible.
And she also, her daughter was very artistic. And she used, and she could duplicate handwriting.
Oh,
so she used her daughter to forge signatures on hundreds of mortgage documents.
Now, did her daughter ever pick up the art of the con herself?
Well, the daughter was conflicted. She says in the podcast, Queen of the Con, available wherever you get your podcasts, she said that she feels like con artistry is in her DNA, but she turned her back on her mother. And she ultimately, and this is episode 8, she testified against her mother at trial.
Oh, wow.
You know? She helped put her mother in jail.
Wow.
And it's a spectacular, insane story.
How long is she going to be in jail?
Never seen the light of day.
Will she be doing serious time? Is she going to be in jail for many years?
She got the maximum 5-year jail sentence, but guess what?
Good time.
COVID
struck. Oh, and then what happens? Good or bad? COVID struck.
Well, California, you know, liberal California, and again, I'm somewhat of a liberal, but they released an F-ton of inmates who are nonviolent offenders because of COVID. So she's out. She has fled Los Angeles.
No.
Oh, no.
And she's probably learned more skills to do
wait, hold
more
on,
damage.
Jonathan. They let her out not to return? Like, she was just absolved of all her chaos?
Not
like,
absolved.
What did she...
Well, they just let her out early
not
because
just
of COVID.
Her. Tens of thousands of inmates. Yeah, not just her.
But
tens
not
of thousands
like
of nonviolent
you're free,
offenders.
But wear this ankle monitor. You're coming back to us in 2 years.
Like
it's like, okay, you're done. You serve 5 days, you're out.
Well, she was on parole. She wasn't supposed to leave California, but she has fled.
Oh.
Of course she has.
She has disappeared. So if you go to my website, jonathanwalton.com, or just Google her name, Marianne Smith. Man. She's a master of disguise, you know. So the next time a kind woman enters your life as a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a girlfriend, it could be Marianne Smith, you know, trying to scam you.
Do you worry about her attacking you?
Hold on, wait, Eric. I just look up Marianne Smith. Former member of the Chicago City Council. I don't think this is her.
No, that's not her.
S-M-Y-T-H.
But now that she's out.
S-M-Y-T-H.
Okay. Marianne
but she's
Smith.
Out now, so are you worried a little bit, though? Like, I mean, that she could hurt you?
No, No, I would love her to try to hurt me because I would be on her like white on rice and get her thrown back in jail. California is a 3-strike state. So if I can get a 3rd felony conviction out of her, she'd go to jail for 25 years.
Well, that'd be nice then.
Yeah.
Now, tell me again. It's Mary, M-A-R-Y, Ann, A-N-N.
No, it's M-A-R-I-A-N-N-E, Marianne.
Oh, here
Smith,
it is.
S-M-Y-T-H.
It looks like it's Smythe.
Yeah, because the other ones are coming up like attorneys. I just want to make sure people can find the right lady. So Mary, it's not
or
one
just
word.
Go to my website.
Okay, what's
JonathanWalton.com.
Yeah.
JonathanWalton.com, and you'll see
I
posted
pictures
of her butt. You know, she's a blonde. She's a brunette. She's got short black hair. She's got long black hair.
There's
one with red hair where she's got her, she looks like a different woman in every
So she's never tried to, like, contact you since she's been out, like, just to say something, like, I mean, obviously she doesn't want you recording it, so she probably doesn't want to threaten you.
I think if you were her, would you want to go near me? I'm the one who put her in jail.
Yeah,
you know? She's been conning her whole life.
But she doesn't
want to ever done anything.
She doesn't want to be one up by you. You know, she wants to probably show you that she's still on top. What up? She's just
I don't think she's on top. I think she's on the run. I think she's going to change her identity again because
of course.
The past she just moves on to a different town with a new name new look.
How long do you think she's been
and
out?
And she's
then?
So kind and sweet. She's been out since December of 2020.
Oh my God, she's a long time then to go out there.
10 months now. Yeah.
And you know what makes me so crazy about this whole thing, Jonathan, is the like you're right. She's not like the person that sticks out like, wow, that lady's so beautiful. It's all about the kindness that she's faking. And I mean, this is just how she's chosen to live. She has chosen to live as someone who constantly has to watch her back. How stressed out would that be every night when you sleep? You're thinking, any minute this might blow up in my face. Somebody might catch me.
Well, I think you have a misunderstanding. I think she gets off on that.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
She gets a high out of it, probably.
That's what she loves.
That she might get caught.
Yeah, will I get caught? Because when we were best friends, she would host parties and invite 10 victims. She's scamming with different stories. Mm-hmm. And at any time, one of us could have volunteered something that didn't gel and outed her, but that never happened. But she must have got off on the, I could get discovered any second. Like, are they going to figure this out? They're all sheep and I'm the lion. Like, yeah.
You know what I'm surprised, so Jonathan, that, I mean, you're a kind-hearted man, but she's going to cross the wrong person and they're going to slit her throat.
Oh, yeah, because they could kill her. Somebody could just go nuts and kill her for what she did.
Oh, and that, you know, that is episode 7 of the podcast.
Really?
So when she was living in Northern Ireland for 7 years. Mm-hmm. She met a guy online there when she was living in Tennessee. She moved there and married him and lived there. Mm-hmm. And she scammed $500,000 from 26 victims in Northern Ireland.
Holy
and
crap.
She fled. So when she got a tip that police were looking into her, she fled and she took her husband with her. Her husband raised greyhounds at the time. They had 17 greyhounds. They didn't have time to rehome them.
Uh-oh.
So she made her husband put the greyhounds down.
Oh. Killed 17 dogs?
17 for no effing reason other than they had to make a quick escape.
What a bitch.
Yeah.
Good.
She's
God,
evil.
This lady.
She is evil.
And you know what's terrifying, Jonathan? She's not the only one. How many con stories have you learned of different people conning people?
Oh my God. So yeah, I've been contacted by hundreds of victims of other cons and I'm trying to help some of them get justice. The problem is victims aren't like me. Victims don't go public. Victims don't talk about it.
It's embarrassing. There's shame and embarrassment. Yeah.
Yeah. And that just lets the con artists get away and con other people.
Yeah, we had some ladies on our show a few years ago, Jonathan, who had gone on one of this older demographic dating website. And the one lady met this con artist guy who made her feel wonderful and special and all the things were right. Mm-hmm. And then she met another lady and another lady and another lady. And he was just conning them all out of titles and deeds and all their money and, estranging them from their kids and just... total control con person.
Well, because now, Rolla, they use algorithms to find people. Jonathan, I have a very beloved
family
member.
You love that
member.
Word, algorithm. Right?
Well, because that's what it is. They look for things, and they particularly prey on older people. So it is an algorithm, and they'll look in Messenger. Like, for instance, this one particular person I knew was very religious, and, this con artist sent her a DM or a message and says, I love the Lord, too. I love your values, your morals. Mm-hmm. And he struck up a friendship with her. And, I even warned. I said, hey, I don't know about this. And I said, there better not have been any exchange of money. And she's like, oh, no. And then
he just
literally
a little bit of money.
6 weeks later, I found out, yeah, I gave him $5,000. Like, what the? Mm. And
oh, my gosh.
They prey upon people. And
they do. They know how to get in fast. They know how to get into your life. They know how to make you like them. Because once you like them... Once you love them, you're no longer making decisions using your mind. You're making decisions using your heart.
But anytime somebody wants to exchange money, that should be a red flag right there. Mm-hmm. It's like, no.
Why do you need the money?
It should be, but if you're in love with this person or you care about this person, you just want to help them. So that red flag never comes up if your heart's taken over.
And also, to your point, Jonathan, this lady originally, she never really asked you for the money outright. She manipulated you to feel so sorry for you. You're like, I will help you. Do you need something from me? Can I help you? So that's the other part people don't realize about the con, is that these people get you to volunteer
confidence.
To give
that's
them the money,
for.
Not say, please, please, please give me money. I promise I'll pay you back or my life depends
exactly.
on it. It's you got screwed mentally enough to say, I can give you money.
Yeah.
Jonathan, are you starting to take this podcast and going to turn it into a script? I mean, it's Hollywood.
Well,
you're out there to make it into a movie someday.
Yeah, a documentary
or
series,
Netflix,
a scripted
something.
Series, and a movie, Toni Collette playing Marianne Smith. That would be great.
Oh, hell yeah.
There you go.
Who would play you? Who would you want?
Probably like Zach Braff. Kidding. I don't know. I don't know who would play me.
Hey, how about the guy from Game of Thrones?
Jon Snow?
Or the game with the Jon Snow guy.
Yeah, there you go. He's a good-looking man.
No, I was thinking more like the guy that plays the angry elf in Elf.
Hodor. The guy who played Hodor.
Oh,
Peter Dinklage?
He doesn't play Hodor. He's not Hodor, is he?
Peter Dinklage is a little bit shorter than Jon.
No, not Peter Dinklage.
Jon's a very tall man,
giant,
right?
Hodor was the giant ogre guy with the long schlong. Yeah. Who
with the long schlong. Yeah.
That's who you want to be?
Well, yeah.
So it's interesting, though, that, I mean, so she struck up a friendship with you based on, because she, you were out. She knew you were a gay man, so she couldn't use the romantic angle to lure you in. So what angle did she use?
Well, at the time where I live in LA, we lost access to this like Olympic sized swimming pool, and our building was in an uproar fighting to get it back. And she offered to help. She was dating a Los Angeles politician. She said he could help. And as soon as I told her at the time that, you know, part of my family disowned me for being gay, she pounced. She's like, my family disowned me too. And tears, like Demi Moore in Ghost, tears filled her eyes.
So they
she started telling me the story. Her evil cousin Fenton, they're trying to get her disinherited from this 25 million euro estate. And she'd show me texts and emails. I didn't have a doubt. I knew it was true. I knew it was true.
Yeah, because she already had it there.
I knew it was true.
So she was smart enough to set this all up weeks before to hit you with it.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And there were no dates, Jonathan, on the emails or texts. You couldn't see, like, the dates. Because if she tried to set that up, then she would have to real time, like, September 14th, I'm going to create this email. Then October 3rd, I'll create another
email. Yeah, I mean, I didn't look at the dates, you know, because the body of the email was just so insane. And you know, about inheritance and about calling her the C word. You'll never get a bloody farthing was one of the phrases I remember reading in a text message. Yeah, she texted herself as these characters. She impersonated Jennifer Aniston to try to get a head of a production company to give her money. You know, she dated a guy, met him on Tinder. Turns out he's the head of this huge production company in Los Angeles. And
wait, go back to that.
Friends with
she
Jennifer.
Posed as Jennifer Aniston on Tinder?
No, she dated a guy, a production head.
Okay.
And then she tells the guy, you know, I grew up with Jennifer Aniston. We're good friends. And she would show him texts and emails from Jennifer Aniston. And soon Jennifer Aniston is texting and emailing him to do a deal, you know.
Oh, geez.
But this guy got suspicious and hired an internet sleuth. And the internet guy told him, listen, I can't tell you if that's Jennifer Aniston's email address, but I can tell you it was created 2 weeks ago.
Oh, then you know that's bullshit.
Does Jennifer Aniston know about this? Like, can she go after for being impersonated? Because Clint Eastwood just this morning won $6.1 million for being impersonated as an endorser of some CBD product. So could Jennifer Aniston go after that?
Rule, she could.
I mean, you know, good
she
luck catching her.
She absolutely could.
Or paying for it.
Yeah, good luck catching her.
And even if you do catch her, she's not going to pay it. If she has no money,
you can't drain blood from a stone.
Yeah, you just want her behind bars.
Well, it would make noise, though, for your cause. Even if she wasn't going to get money out of this, she was going to say, this person impersonated me with the head of a production company.
She'd buy your movie.
Yeah, because she has her own production stuff going on. Apple TV Plus.
I'm going to try to hit Jennifer Aniston. That's a good idea. And another victim with the Jennifer Aniston scam, she was the head of this big nonprofit in Los Angeles. She tricks this victim into believing, again, Jennifer Aniston is her best friend. Oh. Then she invites this woman to the Golden Globes.
Oh, my God.
She says, my best friend Jennifer Aniston said I could bring someone. You want to come to the Golden Globes? The woman's like, I'd love to.
Ballsy.
So the morning of the Golden Globes, she's got her dress on. She's ready to go.
And then?
My con artist texts her and says, hey, Jennifer Aniston's going through a difficult time with Justin Theroux right now, and she just wants to be alone, so I have to renege the Golden Globe invitation.
Oh, man.
That's a gut punch. This poor woman, she's been talking about it for weeks, probably. Man.
Got my hair blown out, my makeup done.
Tried to spend a crap ton of money on a dress.
Hey, Jonathan, are you still doing stuff with Shark Tank? Are you done with that? Because now I know you're busy with
this. No, I only did one season of Shark Tank. The show that I'm working on now.
Hey, what are you doing now?
Apart from I'm doing a show for HBO Max about the Mark Wahlberg follow documentary called Wall Street, season two.
Ooh,
yeah. The Mark
just about
Wahlberg
Mark Wahlberg and all of his. He has like a million businesses. You know, he's got like a set of gyms. He's got Wahlburgers, a burger franchise.
Car dealership.
He's got a production company. Car dealership, clothing line, municipal. He's like, if ever a man was worthy of a reality show, it is Mark Wahlberg. He's into so many things. Meanwhile, he's flying all over the world shooting movies, and we get that too.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I never saw the first season. I know that came out last year, right?
Was it last year? HBO Max.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll check that out.
Okay.
Do you get to go with them on that, or do you stay at home base?
No, I'm just in post. So I get back the hundreds of hours of footage and sift through it and try to make a story.
That's what I say. Do they give you notes at least? Yeah. Like they go, hey, we saw him doing this. You should check this part out. Like,
yeah, oh, absolutely. Like, this is the best part. Absolutely.
Make sure you can include
that'd be like
this.
A huge puzzle without knowing what the puzzle is supposed to look like.
It would be. No, we get field notes, but ultimately it doesn't matter what the field notes say. If it doesn't play well what they captured, then we can't use it.
And then you got to try and
we can only use what's captured.
Do you have a time limit? Like each one has to be an hour long or 30 minutes?
HBO Max has rough limits, 40 to 50 minutes-ish. You know, it's not like a
network
over the air. So they have commercial breaks and stuff. They don't. So vague, but that's good. So, you know, you can be more creative and let things run a little.
It's a pressure, though.
But it's a really compelling series.
That's cool.
Wow. That's so exciting. I'm so, you know, it's so cool that you... It was a ballsy move. You know, you had a very established career here in Houston, and you just said, screw it, I'm going to go for my dream. I'm going to go out there and then make a go of it, and you have. So that's awesome.
I did, and you know, in episode one, because you kind of have to get to know me in this Queen of the Con podcast, in episode one of Queen of the Con, I tell the story, and I play a clip. I created a new show called Some Stupid Show, and Comedy Central was interested. So when I moved out to L.A., Comedy Central was going to give me a shot. They were going to give me a special to see how it does.
Yeah.
I get out here, and then the writer's strike happens.
Oh, man.
And that was the writer's strike of late 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. And Comedy Central, you know, went away. And I was so – at the time, I took it so personally. I was like, I can't believe this happens to me. But the writer's strike of 2007, 2008 – voided the deals of thousands of show creators and producers with networks and production companies. So it wasn't just me, but it was definitely a punch to the gut. And that's how I started working in reality television. And in episode one of Queen of the Con, my new podcast, just search Queen of the Con wherever you get your podcasts. I unpack that whole story and we play a funny clip. We play clips from my days at Cage for You.
Oh, yeah.
And where I was Walton's World, where I dressed up as trans Darth Vader. So I had the Darth Vader helmet, but a French maid's outfit. And I had Darth Vader voice.
Actually, I remember, Jonathan, you telling us that it wasn't just some great story when you moved to LA. It wasn't all like peaches and cream and let's go in the land of milk and honey. You had a lot of difficulty that you made you question yourself. Did I do the right thing by coming here?
Did you think about coming back? Did they ever say like you?
I did. Well, here's the thing.
KPRC's
so I moved
looking
to LA.
A guy.
Funny hats.
Be the dog.
I
be
moved
like
to
radar.
Los Angeles. I moved thinking I'm getting the Comedy Central special, you know, and then that goes south. I'm unemployed. No one will hire me. You know, when I tell people I worked in Houston, they're like, what's Houston? Like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Yep. But I met the love of my life my first day here.
Really? And your first day?
2 weeks later. Yeah. Two weeks later, we moved in together, and a year later, we got married, and we've been together ever since. It's about 14 years now.
Whoa.
And that gave me the strength to stay. Well, thank you. Yeah.
I didn't know you had this right. Where did you meet the love of your life on your first day? That's like getting an audition your first day you got to LA, and now you're
at the lottery of love.
You know, you have a 10-season run.
Okay, here's the short version. So when I left Houston, I had lunch with a friend who told me his strategies. Like when I move, you know, because news people move all over, you know. Whenever I move to a new city, I put ads on, at the time Craigslist was the thing. I set up dates, so I have stuff to do. So that's what I did. I put an ad on Craigslist, you know, looking for love. You know, worst case scenario, you end up dead in the trunk of my car. And people responded. And this one guy in particular, who turned out to be my husband, you know, thought it was hilarious. And we had our first date, my first night in LA. We went to the Grove. Ryan, you know the Grove.
Yeah. So wow.
This is 2007 when Craigslist wasn't quite yet. Oh God, you're going there for
like,
something.
I'm still taken aback. You met your husband through Craigslist,
and you threatened to put him in his trunk and kill him.
I did. And he did end up in the trunk. No, he didn't.
Just bent over the trunk.
It was kismet, but that's what gave me the strength to stay because I was unemployed for a year, and he took care of me.
Wow.
He paid the rent. He paid, you know, yeah.
That's
like, so you were conning him, actually.
Jonathan Kahn.
The first con.
It's the 14-year long con.
That's awesome. You know,
that's the beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing about life. I'm knocked on my ass. I got nothing. Mm-hmm. And here this man is taking care of me. It was just, it was amazing. You know, you can never, that's the beautiful thing about getting knocked on your ass. You see who's there to pick you up.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the people you think. It's yep. not the people you think.
Right. Yeah. So wherever you find podcasts, Jonathan Walton will entertain you.
I'm
How
happy
many episodes
for you,
is
brother.
It? How many total?
It is 10 episodes. Queen of the Con. It's narrative. You know, it's very much like Dirty John. It's a lot of narration. A lot. Yeah. We interview 20-something victims. We have like crazy sound effects and music. We have an actress. Because we have this treasure trove of crazy emails from all this bitches, all these characters.
Well, I need
she
her
created.
To read it. Yeah.
And we get actors to read them. It's really compelling. Queen of the Con, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's
Thank
funny.
You so much for having me on.
Thanks, Jonathan. I always wondered if any of those reenactment actors or actresses, if they get spotted on the street and somebody calls the FBI, I spotted them. I spotted them.
Ryan, that actually happened in real life. Jonathan, you'll remember this. Remember, obviously, iconic Dave Ward from Channel 13 started those
yes.
Crime Stoppers reenactments in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I went to before he retired a couple of years ago off Channel 13, they honored him at the Crime Stoppers Gala, obviously. And he talked about that. He said the people that they would get, because it was a very
Dude,
small
I'm just
pod.
An actor. Damn. Was, don't shoot.
Yeah, they were doing this all themselves on like no budget. It was like people they knew, like, okay, you're gonna play the bad guy. And so there was a guy who played a robber, a gun, like, you know, he's holding the gun, he's holding them up in this restaurant. That guy was just out normal in his Houston life, and so I called the cops on his ass.
That's true.
Because they were like,
oh,
that
God.
Guy was on Crime Stoppers, they're looking for him. He's like, no, I was playing the guy.
But nobody reads, it's like no one reads past the headlines anymore on Twitter.
Yeah,
or
it was crazy. Oh, so interesting.
Jesus.
We're proud of you, man. And it just dropped, what, like last Tuesday or something? It's only been out a week, right?
It just dropped last Thursday. We're dropping an episode a week, so the first two episodes are up. It's 10 episodes. It's the craziest freaking ride, and just when you think you know how it's going to end, you don't. There's a lot of new stuff that I found out doing this podcast, and she's out there. So I'm not even kidding. The next time a super friendly woman who's 52 years old enters your life as a friend or a neighbor, like, be suspicious.
She's very lied
about her
age.
Check her. Find out her real name.
Maybe she turned into a man.
Oh, that would be the ultimate con.
I wouldn't put it past her.
Now she's Mario.
She could be a handsome man.
Yes. Handsome man.
Yeah, because that's another thing. She could probably lie about her age if she can, you know, pull off that number. And you said she keeps changing her looks. She get boob job, face work, based on other people's money from the cons. Okay.
I mean, people ask me, where did all that money go? She's had an F ton of plastic surgery.
Oh, there you go. Wow. That's not cheap.
Yeah, because she doesn't have anything that she actually owns that you can trail her back to. She didn't, not like she bought properties. She always got the properties in the con art in the con victims' names.
Yeah,
and
her name.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of her cons. She tried to scam a Newport Beach guy into adding her name to the title of his two homes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you can get pretty far with bluffs, you know. As long as you're showing people texts and emails, it's digital con artistry in the 21st century. People believe it. Like, oh, look what my mortgage broker just emailed me. Oh, so you're approved. Okay.
So
you know, it's like.
So it's real because you showed me an email. Got it.
Exactly. Well, I have a feeling next year we'll be talking suspicious. To you and you'll be pitching this. You'll have it on Netflix.
We plug in the movie.
It'll be binge worthy. Yes. Forget Squid Game. It's going to be.
Yeah.
Your world.
And when you get to the movie side of it, Jonathan, you can do a little vignette, like one scene where, like, and I started going on radio shows to talk about it in this one.
Can we play ourselves?
Yeah, put us in. We want to be in it.
Put me in, coach.
You can play yourself. And you know, yeah, you guys have been so helpful, and I'm grateful for the publicity in my old stomping ground in Houston. And I have the fondest memories of working with you guys and doing stuff with you on air. It was a blast.
Yeah, and now they don't tell you what's Houston in LA. They just say Houston sucks.
Cheaters.
Because Dodgers and Astros. I'm sure now it doesn't get the same reaction. Anyway.
Well, take care, buddy.
Thanks, Jonathan, for joining us today.
Have a great day.
You guys, too. Thank you so much.
Okay,
take care.
Take care.
Buddy.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Ralph Feeders, real time. This is October the 4th today. So that dropped last Thursday, and it's anywhere, Queen of the Con, wherever you can find your podcast, like Jonathan said. Thanks for listening, Ralph Feeders.
That's fun. I want to go back to the original one we had with them because we went in more depth. What happened?
Because then we talked to him first, and then the con on ABC happened, and then we had him on again.
We talked to him twice or just once?
I can't remember. I think twice.
That was just one time because we were talking about the con was coming up.
The second time, yeah.
Like, I wish Walton's World was, like, somewhere. I don't know if they're all on YouTube, but that was so
good. It was so fun. Do you remember when we did the great race around Houston?
Yeah, the amazing race.
I scared the shit out of you because I was driving like a maniac.
We had to get from the Houston Public Library downtown to 59 Diner in the old Shepherd Square.
Oh, 59 Diner.
Doesn't exist anymore. We had to go to the Children's Museum. We had to go all these places, and the time we were timed against other people.
It's like, they don't do that stuff anymore.
Nope.
Everyone has to be safe now. Morning shows on TV.
Yeah, yep. That's true. Or they just listen to our show and then they take notes and then they redo what we did the next day.
On TikTok. Today's show does that.
On TikTok. Yeah, TikTok they just redo it on TikTok.
Yep.
Pumpkin spice latte popcorn. Anyway, okay, Raw Feeders, have a great day. Next Raw Feed on, you know, on Mondays we post new ones, so y'all have a great day. Oh, we need a code. We never have a code. Ooh, we have a code on this one.
Which?
Queen of the Con.
There you go.
Queen of the Con.
Queen of the Con.
Queen of the Con. Let us know you listened to it.
Con!
Take care, guys. Bye.